This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, just a few little snippets in the wake of the 12-day war. Apparently, in Iran, they've still been suffering from explosions, unexplained explosions. There even have been reports about their anti-missile systems being deployed over Tehran, like last night and the night before, for a few nights in a row now. There seems to have been anti-missiles fired off around the area of Tehran in spite of the ceasefire. Israel apparently is not active, is not firing missiles towards Iran. Then there was a report this morning of this explosion at a site which is a military missile production site, we understand. Huge explosion and smoke blowing from there. Overall, even though Iran has kind of declared this victory and they've had the victory parade, I don't know that it's really felt like much of a victory when they started to bury their senior leadership, especially from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, who so many of them were taken out and have recently been buried. But just another kind of related story is the fact that a couple living in my home city have apparently been arrested for spying on behalf of Iran.
Yeah,
That is like just an astonishing story.
I don't understand this. And she's so pretty. She looks like Gal Gadot. But what I suppose it's not that relevant to the conversation. But
maybe it is. Maybe it makes her more likely spy. I don't know.
Anthony, explain that to me.
I wish I could. I was hoping that you'd help me or the listeners might, because I really can't explain it. I mean, the only explanation is huge amounts of money. That can be really the only driving force. But fortunately, we have security agencies and we do have the ability to track things like this down. I don't think that we're talking about a major breach of security. I don't think that any top secret documents have been released or anything like that. But I think what the Iranian intelligence have tried to do is to recruit Israelis who can go around and potentially scout out particular locations in Israel and provide them information.
I was going to ask, I mean, do we know if they work in any sensitive areas?
We don't know, and it's not been said, but I have the impression that that's not the case.
Right.
I think it's simply feet on the ground, being able just to scout out public locations more than anything. I don't think there's anything super secret. And by the way, there is this thing called Google Earth, which I don't know if the Iranians have heard about, and which reveals a surprising amount of information about locations and areas. I'm sure they've been using it. I'm being facetious. But it seems as if these people have just been used to kind of either scout out locations or potentially even to try to somehow spook local politicians by putting posters up around their houses, by threatening them, by potentially even creating some sort of a problem, some sort of, I don't even know if they were planning to carry out some sort of an explosion around critical locations. But of course, all of these people have their security, very, very intensive security, particularly in these days. So a very, very surprising piece of information story that came out yesterday. And as I say, who knows, they could be my next door neighbors, although I don't recognize them from anywhere, from the pictures that have been published in the press. And of course, everybody around town yesterday was saying, oh, who are these people? Because their names weren't released until much later. Everybody was going to get onto the witch hunt train to try and see who these people are. I don't know who they are. Nobody has indicated that they are friends of theirs or know them from around town, but it is really an astonishing story.
It really is. Many press reports this morning indicating that Israel has agreed to a ceasefire in Gaza ahead of the meeting next week in the White House. Is it realistic?
I think it is realistic, and there are a few things that point towards something brewing that we can expect to be announced next week. Of course, President Trump wouldn't want the ceasefire to be announced anywhere other than at the White House in his presence for him to announce the ceasefire, probably. That's what he would want. And so even if it had been signed, sealed, and delivered today, I have little doubt that it would all wait until next week. But we've seen the IDF carrying out attacks in Gaza, which have been really much, much greater than we've seen in recent weeks. And it all gives the impression that they may well be kind of doing a last gasp effort to finally carry out the last activities that they need to do before a ceasefire takes place. So they're kind of doing a preparatory sort of attack program before they know that they're going to have to enter into a ceasefire, which it seems will be something like 60 days long. The IDF has already announced that they've come close to the end of the military objectives in Gaza. I think that's another indication. Mm. There was another little snippet that heads of security agencies, many heads of security agencies, all piled into the Netanyahu trial courtroom where he's being trialed. He's being tried on charges of corruption, and they all testified that the case should be delayed this week and that Netanyahu should not be expected to turn up to court. Exactly what was discussed and why the security heads felt that the court needed to hear this from them is unclear, but it just gives us an impression that something is definitely brewing, that they felt that they had the right and the obligation to turn up to the court to plead for the prime minister not to have to turn up to his corruption trial this week. So again, just another indication. But the question is, I mean, just the facts on the ground, as far as we read, the ceasefire will be a 60-day ceasefire, which will involve on day one, the release, we believe, of 8 live hostages. And then on day 7 or 8, the release of another 2 live hostages, which really only gives us half of those who we believe to be still alive. In addition to that, we will receive, we understand, something like 18 bodies of hostages who are no longer alive over that period, over that sort of 8-day period. The ceasefire will last 60 days, during which time there will be an attempt to try to reach a permanent ceasefire. Of course, the bargaining party on the other side of the table is Hamas, and we're still waiting for them to accept, because according to President Trump, Israel has already accepted the ceasefire proposals that have been put together by Steve Witkoff and have been negotiated by Qatar and Egypt. But for me, the real critical question is, what does this do to our objective of destroying Hamas? Because I think by waiting for Hamas, by negotiating with Hamas, by agreeing these ceasefire terms with Hamas, we're effectively maintaining Hamas's power. And interestingly, one of the apparent sticking points in the agreement is the fact that Hamas has said they want to remove the current food distribution program that has been put in place by the Americans and by the Israelis. They want to get rid of that, and they want to revert back to the previous way of distributing food in Gaza. And of course, that's not all about food distribution. In fact, that has nothing to do with food distribution, and it has everything to do with power and control. And who has power and control over this critical currency, which is the food distribution? And of course, Hamas are insisting that no ceasefire will be agreed upon unless that particular sticking point is resolved and they go back to the old system of distributing food, which means all to Hamas. Hamas control it. They're able to set the prices. They're able to decide who gets access to which food. They have complete control over the food and therefore complete control over everything that happens in Gaza. And so here is the dilemma. The dilemma is, do we agree this a particular ceasefire proposal, which President Trump is saying, oh, he will make sure that Bibi toes the line and that he agrees to it. Don't worry about that. President Trump will make sure of that. And of course, President Trump said, we'll have a short time to celebrate the obliteration of the nuclear facilities in Iran, and then we will pressurize Bibi to take the Gaza ceasefire arrangement. That's more or less the agenda that Trump has put together. But do we accept the ceasefire proposal, receive some of our hostages back, receive some of the dead bodies back, and reinforce Hamas as the controlling power in Gaza? That is effectively what we're being asked to do right now. What do you think?
And there was a strange report I saw that Saudi Arabia said they can't normalize relations with Israel if Hamas remains in power in Gaza.
Yeah, so that was a slightly strange kind of statement. I agree that I didn't fully understand that. But we do need to remember that there is the Sunni-Shia divide between the Saudis and between Hamas. There is this divide. And it's not clear exactly who the Saudis are supporting. They, well, maybe supporting Sharabi and his guys, who are the caretakers of the alternative food distribution program. They are a clan that has a certain power in Gaza and is not affiliated with Hamas, and Israel has certainly been supporting them. And I think that the Saudis are inclined to support them as well. But they really don't have anywhere near as much power as Hamas still has, ironically, even after all this time and after this lengthy war, and after the Gazans understand that everything that they've suffered over the past 21 months in the wake of the war is down to Hamas's actions. And yet Hamas somehow have still managed to hang on to the control and the power. It just is something which I don't fully understand. I'm trying to get to grips with exactly how that mentality and how that psychology works. But for me, it's extremely difficult to understand how that can still be the case.
Likewise, a ballistic missile was fired from Yemen towards central Israel last night. What happened here?
Yeah, so a single missile fired by the Houthis from Yemen towards central Israel. Very, very neatly intercepted, we understand, even outside of the Earth's atmosphere, which is really what the Arrows missile system is all about. That is exactly the way it's designed to work. Its success, as we saw during the 12-day war, was quite high, but still nowhere near complete, because there were so many missiles that did manage to slip through the cordon. And not only that, but those that were intercepted, or at least some of those that were intercepted much, much closer to the ground than we would have liked. I mean, ideally, the interceptions should take place in outer space. And in so doing, some of that debris, I guess, will burn up as it falls through the atmospheric layer. I think that that's the way that the Arrows 3 is really designed to work. And we saw that yesterday in absolute perfection, just a single missile, so relatively easy to focus all the attention and efforts. It also meant that many in Israel were sent to bomb shelters, because we still have no idea how the shrapnel falls and what damage and injury can be caused as a result of that. There were no reports of damage or injury from yesterday's missile that was fired. And yet, it's just really crazy that we're still getting missiles from the Houthis in Yemen. By the way, there were a couple of missiles even fired from Gaza yesterday, which sent those in the Gaza
area to the bomb shelters. How does that happen?
It's just astonishing that even though the IDF are controlling large swathes of Gaza, they still somehow managed to fire these missiles from wherever the civilians are currently being located. It's just inconceivable that that can still be happening. But fortunately, our anti-missile systems were very aware and on duty, and they managed to intercept all of those again without incident. So even though we seem to be kind of crawling towards the end of this war, it's still not over. And of course, our hostages are still not home. And so until they come home, we can unfortunately not draw a line under anything. But one thing's for sure, that the after this war situation is still going to be quite tense, because Hamas even today have the ability to fire missiles, have the ability to control so much in the Gaza Strip. I mean, that does not bode well for the future. And yet we have no option but finally to bring our hostages home and to somehow draw a line under this conflict and to move on to the next thing. Whatever that means, it's going to be interesting to see what the tactics will be about how Israel will deal with Gaza moving forward, particularly in light of the fact that it seems as if the Hamas is there to stay. I don't see us being able to remove Hamas and their power from Gaza, at least the way that things look right now.
That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Very thought-provoking. I'd love your thoughts. 061-895-1019.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.